Whatever the sin may be within your life this morning that you've been struggling with, even though you've come to Jesus Christ, but that sin seems to haunt you constantly and it takes away your joy, it takes away your peace. It's constantly tormenting you mentally. It can drive you insane if you don't take care of it. But you have to be the one to come to Christ.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. As we move forward in our study of the mighty power of forgiveness, Roel will urge you to acknowledge any guilt that's weighing you down and ask God to lift that burden from your shoulders. You'll see that, like King David, you don't have to suffer in self-condemnation. When you confess your sins and look to God for redemption, He'll bless you with freedom and joy. Let's listen as Roel Reese begins our study, God's Divine Forgiveness. Join us in Psalm 32.
We've been dealing with a lot of topics, very important topics to the Word of God, but I think that there's a topic that is really important to each one of us as believers. I believe that there are a lot of people that have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. But I also believe that those kinds of people not only struggle in their own lives, but there's a lot of condemnation and a lot of guilt and a lot of unforgiveness within their hearts. And one of the things that brought my attention as I was reading the Psalms, I looked at Psalm 32 and then at Psalm 51. And of course, these Psalms were written by David after David had committed that great sin at the age of 57 years old with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. And it seems that Psalm 32 is the second of seven penitential psalms given to us by the writer. Many commentators relate it closely to Psalm 51, and they say that Psalm 51 was written earlier than Psalm 32. We really don't know that, but that's just a theory from the writers. As a matter of fact, Psalm 32, as a potential psalm, is identified with the title as the Psalm of David, and it's called in Hebrew Mishkel. It's a term used by actually 12 other psalms by that same title, Psalm 42. Psalm 44, 45, 52 through 55, 74, 78, 88, 89, and 142. The title Mishkel literally means to instruct, to make attentive, or to have intelligence. So when the psalmist is writing, he's making an attentive instruction to those that are listening to the psalm. It would then identify what might be called a didactic or teaching psalm that is given by David as a psalm of meditation designed to teach us. Now, a lot of times, and we'll read in a moment, when the psalmist is writing, he uses the word Selah, S-E-L-A-H. And literally, the word Selah means a pause in Hebrew. You would read certain phrases and then you would come to a pause. You wouldn't say anything. They would close their eyes and they would meditate on what was being said. And then they would continue on the next line. And this is the way the psalm is written. Listen to Psalm 32 verses 1 through 11 this morning. He says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, and blessed is that man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, though my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity have I not hidden. And then I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and the bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be with the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all of you upright in heart. Now, this week, as I was thinking, there is a lot of people or a lot of believers that are still not sure if God has really forgiven them. You really do not fully accept the forgiveness of God within your life because of things that you've done not only in the past, but even in the present today. Things that are haunting you. One of the things that happened to me is that when I came to Jesus Christ, God forgave me for all of my sins, but there was a time in my life that even though I had come to the cross and I had asked Jesus Christ to forgive me, there were certain sins that were haunting me. Things that I could not forgive myself for, and I thought that God surely will never forgive me for these things that nobody knows but I know within my own mind and my own heart. And as I read the Psalms and I began to study the Psalms in depth, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to minister to me through the life of David. David here at this particular time is actually 57 years old, and David has fallen into a great sin before God and man. Let me give you the story just a little bit. Because the story is found in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. You don't have to turn to it. We're not going to read it all, but I'll give it to you by memory this morning. That David had been called by God to actually go out and be in the battle, to be at war. David somehow decided at this particular time to come home and take some R&R and come back to Jerusalem and lay back. And in Jerusalem, as he was on top of his palace house and in his room, he came out to his balcony. And as he came out, he was looking over the city, which he had a beautiful city view of the whole city of Jerusalem. But as David was scanning across his view, all of a sudden his eyes began to look downward. And below him was a house, and the houses in those days were flat roof houses. And there was a lady by the name of Bathsheba bathing on top of a roof, and she was beautiful. David not only glanced, but David began to literally lust after her. As David came back from his balcony back into his bedroom, David began to pace back and forth. The image in his mind actually stayed and could not be taken out of his mind. And through this picture in his mind of this beautiful woman, David called his guards in and he asked the guards that who was that woman living below the palace house. And they said, that's Uriah's wife, the actual husband that is fighting your battles in the front lines. David said, go get her for me. And so Bathsheba was brought to David. And David began to commune with her, began to share with her. But David literally fell into adultery with her. After that evening, David lying with her sexually, David sent her back home. And when she went back home a couple of weeks later, David thought everything was fine. There are no problems. The battle is going on. I'm kicking back and I'm resting and I'm vacationing. But all of a sudden he heard a knock on the door to his room. And as he went to open the door, one of the soldiers came and said, "David, I have news for you." And he said, "Go ahead and speak." He said, "We just got news that Bathsheba has sent to us that she's pregnant." David began to not only go into a depression. David closed the door and David began to pace back and forth through the palace, thinking, "How in the world am I going to get rid of this problem?" According to Jewish law, when anybody would commit adultery, they were actually to be stoned to death. That was God's law. He was the king. And as David began to pace back and forth, as so many times, whatever we sin, whether it be adultery, fornication, or whether it be murder or lying or slander, whatever it may be, the moment we come to that place of sin, if we do not confess our sin and repent immediately that we're really sorry for what we have done and God will forgive us, if we don't do that, then the enemy now has an open door to come and condemn us and to deceive us. Every one of us are capable of doing that. David did it.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. We're here to support you in your spiritual walk, and we invite you to visit us anytime at somebodylovesyou.com. You can also download our free app to infuse God's Word into your daily life with live-streamed Bible teaching and digital studies. Let's continue now with the final part of our study, God's Divine Forgiveness.
And David, as he began to pace back and forth, and as the enemy saw an open door, the enemy came and gave David an idea. He said, "David, you want to cover yourself from this thing? Then I'll tell you what you do. You take and you write a letter to Joab, your commander and first cousin, and tell him to send Uriah home so that he can come home for some R&R, and then he can be with his wife, and then you're not guilty." You ever think how smart Satan is? He's sharp. He knows exactly how to cover your sin, where nobody will find that anything. And that evening, as Uriah came home, David decided to do a party for him. Uriah was with David for a long time. They were eating and drinking, and now it was getting late. And David said, "You better go home because, you know, morning comes very early." And as Uriah went home, on his way home, he saw that his troops were sitting there and they did not get to go home to their wives. So Uriah decided as a leader to sleep outside with his troops. Never went home. The next morning, David probably got up whistling and feeling good, and all of a sudden he heard that Uriah never got home. The enemy again saw an open door, and the enemy came again. And this time the enemy began to whisper to David, "David, Uriah didn't get to home, but you have a second chance. Tonight, go ahead and have another party. But this time, as you have this great party, why don't you go ahead and get him drunk? And then you can direct him home. And for sure, he'll go home, he'll lie with his wife, and then you can say, 'Congratulations, Uriah, you're going to have a baby boy. And David, you'll be free.'" As Uriah got drunk that night, and as he was let down the stairway and out to the patio and out going to his house, on his way home, he literally passed out and never got home. The next day, when David found out that he never got home, David was really worried now. He thought, "Man, what am I going to do now?" The enemy came in like a flood and said, "David, I got a better one for you. You really want to cover your sin? He was lying. He was using deceit. Now the third sin comes into his life. And the enemy came and said, hey, why don't you write a letter to Joab, your general? And have Uriah carry that letter back to the battle and do this. Say, dear Joab, I want you to take Uriah and I want you to put him in the front lines. And when he's in the front lines, I want you to withdraw and I want you to have him killed in the battle. Then your problem will be all over. Then you can take Uriah's wife and she can become your wife literally. And nobody will know that she was pregnant before marriage. David thought, wow, that's it. That's the key. So David wrote the letter. He called for Uriah. Uriah got the letter sealed by the king. And Uriah didn't know that he was carrying his own death warrant. When he got to the battlefield, Joab, David's cousin, came up to him and said, what do you have for me? He said, I have a letter from David to you. So Joab separated himself, opened the seal, opened the letter, and he began to read, take Uriah and put him in the hottest of the battle, withdraw yourself, and then have him killed. Now David has consented and has committed murder. Not only adultery now, but murder now. He's getting deeper and deeper and deeper into a mess. Joab wrote back a letter and said, mission accomplished, sir. David began to rejoice. He called for Bathsheba, brought her into the palace. They got married and she became his wife. And then she, for the next 9 months, was pregnant. Everything seemed to be okay. Nobody knew anything. David thought, hey, I got away with my sin. 9 months later, when the baby was just about to be born, she went into labor. The baby came forth and the baby became very ill. And David was called to pray and to fast for the child, but God decided that the child should die. The baby died. David still, up to this point in time, does not confess his sin to God. When God saw the heart of David, God decided to send the prophet Nathan to him. When Nathan came to David, he asked for permission to speak. And David said, go ahead and speak. What do you need, Nathan? He said, I want to tell you about a situation. He says, there was a rich man and there was a poor man. And the rich man had a lot of money and had a lot of ewe lambs, but he had a barbecue and he had a big old party, but he did not want to kill any one of his lambs. But his neighbor was a poor neighbor. He only had one ewe lamb and he loved him. And this rich man decided to go next door and by force take his little ewe lamb and kill it and barbecue it and eat it. He said, what would you do to such a man, David? And the king became furiously angered and he said, that man deserves to die. Nathan said, you are that man. You are the one that did this. You took Uriah's wife, you committed adultery with her, and you killed her husband. Wow. Now David, the Bible says what? That when David was called on the carpet, immediately conviction came to his heart. And he said, I have greatly sinned against God. And he confessed his sin and repented of his sin. And then the Bible says that David's heart is after God's own heart. God forgave David. But David had to reap the consequences to his sin through his whole family. Listen to what David wrote in Psalm 51. I'm reading from the NIV so I can make it a little bit clearer for you. Listen to what he says. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Notice this is now the confession of a broken man. A man that realizes that he could not hide his sin, but that God was able to blot out his sin if he would have come at the first and asked for forgiveness. God would have helped him. But he took so long to come. Verse 2. Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Notice that. Sometimes it seems that our sin never goes away, especially when you don't confess it and you don't repent. It seems that that sin is constantly, presently before your mind. It always is coming up, always resurrecting. And then he said, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. God, you saw what I did, and yet I was blind. I thought I hid it from you. I thought you couldn't see it. God sees everything we do. Everything we say, God sees it. Verse 5. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Notice that. Surely you desire truth in the inward parts, and you teach me wisdom in the innermost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that have been crushed rejoice. Notice, the whole time that he was living a life of sin, there was no joy, and he felt like his bones had been broken. He felt inwardly sick, emotionally, physically. Sin will do that to you. Sin will make you feel like you have broken bones. You feel totally condemned. You feel like your body aches and aches and aches and aches until you come to the place where you confess it. And you realize that you have sinned against God. Some of you this morning have come, and there are things in your life that are constantly haunting you completely. Things you've done in secret that not even your wife or your husband may know, or not even your parents may know what you've done. And some of you probably are feeling like, well, can God really forgive me? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. This is why it's so important, because God says that if you not only repent, but if you immediately confess your sin to him, he will forgive you. In 1 John 1:9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins, and listen, and to continually cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How does he do that? By his precious blood. Over and over and over, he will forgive you. Not that we take advantage of the grace of God, but whenever we sin, God's blood is there to atone for our sin when we sin against God. But you have to be the one to come to Christ. There might be some here that have never come to Christ. Hey, God can forgive you too this morning. But for those of you that are believers, which a sermon is to you this morning and to me, is that we need to take an examination in our minds and in our hearts and ask God, God, where have I missed the mark that the sin so easily beset at me and is constantly haunting me? Lord, I pray this morning for you to take it away and make me at right with you, God. That's what God desires.
If you're living with regrets that have stolen your joy and burdened your heart, we urge you to seek the Lord as King David did, trusting that God's love is greater than your sin. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Our study today was titled God's Divine Forgiveness. If you'd like to get a complete copy with much more teaching, we'll be happy to send it to you for a donation of $5 or more. Simply call us at 800-634-9165. To further assure you of the renewal that stems from confession, we'd like to offer you 5 key lessons from Raul's Forgiveness series. This set is available on both CD and flash drive. Considering the Lord's astounding gift of grace, you'll find confidence to come before his throne in true repentance. You'll also learn about the healing that comes from choosing to forgive those who've wronged you. To purchase this 5-message series, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you the thumb drive for just $7 or the CD set for $20. That's 800-634-9165. You can also write to Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We're a listener-supported ministry, and we are thankful for your year-end gifts. You're a great blessing, and every contribution is tax-deductible. Join us next time as we continue this forgiveness series with more encouragement from King David's spiritual journey. We'll see how unconfessed sin wreaked havoc in his life. But as soon as he repented and confessed, the Lord brought healing and restoration. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.